Category B3 News Programme. News Talk Lunchtime.
Twitter this lunchtime. Well, the saying, I suppose, is careless tongues cost votes in many ways. Fine Gael and Labour have always insisted that the money that was going to be raised from the meters and from Irish Water would, every single cent of it, go back into services. The one thing it wasn't, they've insisted all along, was a tax. So has Richard Bruton been left counting the cost of his slip on News Talk Breakfast?
One, two, three, four.
Well, I've never seen a tax introduced that popular, and I think that's the reality. But I think there's also an understanding in Ireland that, you know, we are in a difficult transition from an economy that almost bankrupts itself, and that there's a lot of change we have to make. A lot of systems are broken that have to be looked at afresh, and water is very much one of them.
The whole objective is to widen the tax base, because if we don't have these charges, our taxes, no matter whatever you call them, we're going to have to impose more tax on income.
Well, I didn't hear the interview, so I don't quite know how my colleague described it, but the way I describe it is as investment in necessary infrastructure in this country, and that everybody participates in making sure that happens.
There are a number of issues that have to be resolved in relation to water charges. The first is what do we do about the 3 out of 4 households who won't be metered by the end of next year? How do we address the issue of ability to pay, particularly for households who are on low income? I'm thinking particularly of older people, pensioners, people who are on low incomes. And we have to get resolutions to all of these issues.
Right. Richard Bruton at the start there on News Talk Breakfast. Brian Hayes, Francis Fitzgerald and Eamon Gilmore, the other voices. Let's just remind ourselves of what Richard Bruton has said at a subsequent event in Athlone. He said, he didn't say it was a tax. He said taxes and tax are charges. And really, he didn't say charge at all. In fact, he quite specifically said tax. Indeed, what I have said is that it's always difficult to introduce any new tax or charge, said the minister. This is a new charge on people. It is difficult politically. I recognise that. Slip of the tongue or revealing a hand? I don't know which. It was probably just a slip of the tongue, but one that's made a little bit of an uncomfortable afternoon for his government colleagues as a result. Meanwhile, the blockade of a housing estate in Lenmore in Toker in Cork City is continuing. The estate is Ashbrook Heights. I visited there this morning. The Irish Water contractor's van is parked up in the estate. Their staff are on site, but absolutely no work is being carried out. And I spoke with some of the people who are the reason why, starting with the residents.
Oh, my name's Marie Cummins.
And Marie, how do you feel about the fact that this is happening now in your housing estate?
Well, upsetting me is the fact that they've came in here, gung-ho about it. They've just landed on top of the estate. No one came up to us and said to us, look, lads, this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. They just came in, basically just barricaded their way into the estate, to be quite honest.
And what they'll say is the law is on their side and they're entitled to do this.
Yeah, but they should sit down and get all the residents together, discuss what exactly is going to happen. This is a community that we're actually living in. At the end of the day, we're not going into other communities and barricading our way in there to them and saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They didn't knock on one person's door.
Did you get a leaflet, anything
from
the door?
We got nothing to say that they were going to come up here
this. Is that the reason behind this, or is it that you don't want to pay the water charge?
Well, both reasons. We're being bullied into doing this.
I want to ask both of you the same question, if I can. How long are you going to hold out for here, that this is going to continue, you and your neighbours?
We're just hoping that this will go national. This will go nationwide. And what we're asking is for people, we're getting a load of support worldwide, online, where we're asking people, come up and say hello for 5 minutes. I know there's thousands of people out there supporting us, but come up to us and say hello, you know, and we look after you, you know what I mean?
Tony, what have you done as part of this protest?
Well, I've been out protesting, you know, and then these lads here have helped us an awful lot too, these people here, okay. You know. So if we haven't got the backup, we have nothing, you know.
Okay, you make reference to these people here, and I was going to speak to one of the people here. You're wearing a high viz, so you're standing out. So who are you, sir?
John O'Donovan.
Okay, and John, you're not a resident here.
No, I'm not. We got the call from the good people up here that they were in desperation, they were frightened, they were told that the water meters had come in, they didn't want them, as has previously been said there. There's people out of work, there's people very sick in this estate as well. And basically, basically they're frightened. They said, look, I mean, why should we have to take a water meter?
Okay, how do they know how to look for you?
Because we canvass all the estates. We've been down to all the estates in the south side now. We've told them that there is a campaign out there. We've been at this for 2 years now, Jonathan, right? And the whole idea is that there is no consent here. What Irish Water are doing, and they have the Labour and they have the Fine Gael, the government behind them, right? They're pushing something without any consent of the householder. This is a one-sided contract, right? You're getting a meter whether you like it or not. You have no say.
So what Brian Hayes said this morning is that he thinks that the timing of this is a little political. So you're not disagreeing with him then, are you?
Well, I can't see where he's coming from, because none of us in our group, like, if we at this stage, you know, we're so well known as regards the anti-property tax, well, the home tax, because that's what it's not a property. I own my home, it's a home tax, right? But I mean, we're not in it for any political game or any ego trips here, right? We're hard workers, campaigners, and we're standing by the community here. Somebody has to stand by, okay, because the politics have abandoned them.
And I just playing devil's advocate on that argument is that Irish Water will say 200,000 of these meters have gone in around the country already as part of that one-sided contract, as you describe it. But just 4 or 5 weeks out from the local elections, this is the first time a community makes a stand. That's presumably where Brian Hayes is hinting.
No, well, the only reason they're taking the stand, because, I mean, we actually told them there was an alternative vote there. They could actually say no. And I want everyone around the country, Jonathan, to listen to what I'm saying here.
But they can't say no. The law says they can't say no.
But it's an unfair law. The same as when Nick Kenny, going back to 2004, said a tax on the family home would be immoral and unjust. And what did he do when he got in? He taxed the family home. He, at no stage before the general election, did he say, I'll tax your family home and I'll give you a water meter as well.
But take the morality out of it. The law stands at the moment. And if people want to elect a different government, I want to put in somebody who, I don't know, decides not to use the 250,000 metres that have already been installed. Fair enough, but the law as it stands is the law, and these people, I suppose, whether we like it or not, are being seen that they're not respecting the law. Not quite breaking it, but not respecting it.
Well, the 250,000 that have gone into the ground already can stay there, and they can rot and never be active, so as I'm concerned, or else they can take them out and sell them off somewhere for scrap or whatever, right? Okay. But the thing is, there's nothing political here on this. This is a community standing up for itself here, and they ask for the support of our campaign, and they're delighted with it. And not only is Cork, all Cork, watching this, the whole country in Ireland is watching this. Every media was here yesterday.
Tell me about what we have here at the moment. The Irish Water are still on site. The contractors are still on site. Something happened this morning, didn't it?
This morning, they actually came in very quietly at about 6:30 in the morning, because they knew if they had left at about 8 o'clock like they did yesterday morning, we ringed the outside of the estate and we physically stopped them from coming in. We wouldn't allow them on the site. So they came at 6:30. We came in. They were already had a presence. At about 8 o'clock, they started to take off their plastic fencing, right? And their digger as well. So we stopped them from doing that. Then there was a tug of war situation broke out between us and the workers with the plastic fencing.
So there was a little bit of
We just stopped them. We just said, don't take them off. We put our hands in them, and then they started to pull them away. We pulled them back, and this went on for quite a while.
Were the guards here for that, or was
the guards weren't here for that? One of our members, Brian Gould, here, he asked the foreman. He said, stop this minute now. Where is the health and safety here now? Not only for your workers, for the campaigners and the residents. You are the foreman on the site.
So they've stopped now, and then we're back to the standoff again. Are there water meters in your own estate?
Not yet. I'll tell you straight now, if I hadn't been the last man now standing, like the film Bruce Willis, right, I'll stand over my stopcock and I guarantee you this, no water meter will go in there. And if it does go in, and if I'm arrested and it's in when I come out of jail or whatever, I will physically take it out. I'm fighting not only for myself, but for the decent Irish people out there that have been harassed completely on a daily basis.
And the ministers who've all come out today saying that what you're doing is wrong and that you're not respecting the law and you're not respecting the rules set down by government and indeed by the European Union, because they said that as well. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say to them, I mean, they're showing total disregard for the people of Ireland, what they've done. I mean, to top it all, to put a tax on my home, right? Then to put in a water meter, but they actually took medical cars off and don't send them kids, like. They interfered with the home helps, right? Okay. The respite care, right? I mean, all bets are off. These people have no conscience. So if they're looking for respect, they're not going to get it.
Bottom line, how long are you going to be here?
Well, we'll stay here indefinitely. There's no water meter going to be fitted in this estate.
As well, here on News Talk Lunchtime, we'll stick with the Irish Water issue. The government has been talking itself into trouble over Irish Water. We'll all be paying from the last quarter of this year. The first bills arrive in January. First of all, Jobs Minister Richard Bruton, he referred to the issue on News Talk Breakfast, and he referred to the water charges in what can only be described as a very simple way.
Well, I've never seen a tax introduced that's popular, and I think that's the reality. But I think there's also an understanding in Ireland that, you know, we are in a difficult transition from an economy that almost bankrupted itself, and that there's a lot of change we have to make. A lot of systems are broken that have to be looked at afresh, and water is very much one of them.
Yeah, he did say their tax. He didn't say charge. But what he said in Athlone afterwards is what he meant to say, really. He meant to say that it was always difficult to introduce any new tax or charge. He did leave the word out. Was it a slip of the tongue? Was it a reveal of the hand? Well, his colleagues have certainly been backpedalling furiously since. Labour ministers, including the Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore, weighing in on the issue.
There are a number of issues that have to be resolved in relation to water charges. The first is, what do we do about the 3 out of 4 households who won't be metered by the end of next year? How do we address the issue of ability to pay, particularly for households who are on low income? I'm thinking particularly of older people, pensioners, people who are on low incomes. And we have to get resolutions to all of these issues.
Kevin Humphreys, Labour TD for Dublin South East, who's been out on the canvas for the local and European elections for his colleagues, is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Deputy Humphreys.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
This is a tax, though, isn't it?
It's a charge. It's a new utility. But no matter what you call it, a tax or a charge, it's an additional approximately €60 a quarter out of people's pockets. And people.
So
are
you don't mind it being called a tax then, do you?
Well, my description of it would be a charge, because what we've set up is a new utility to provide safe, clean water to the citizens of Ireland. And as a deputy on the eastern side of the country that is facing in 2020 a shortage of water, that we have to get a brand new water supply to this side of the country, a lot of people are concerned, will, when they turn on their tap, will water come out of this? This is a mechanism of setting up a brand new utility that will supply a safe, clean source of water to the citizens of Dublin and the greater Dublin area. And I think that's very important, because Dublin has gone, in the last 18 months, 3 times we've had no water. And people really now know the value of water.
Okay, is this coming up on the doorsteps? Because whether you call it a charge, many people will indeed call it a tax, and we've been hit with a fair few since you came to power. Is this a big issue for people on the doorsteps as you're going around?
I haven't, in fairness, Jonathan. It has been a real issue. I've been out now for the last 2 weeks, and it virtually hasn't come up. It's come up maybe 2 or 3 times in different manners. It's come up in a manner from a small business person's concerns where they had to close.
For text messages, this is News Talk Lunchtime. Richard Bruton, after appearing on News Talk Breakfast, went off to Athlone, where the IDA has been turning the sod on their new advanced technology building there. But of the 13,000 new jobs created in IDA-backed firms last year, over 10,000 of them were created in Dublin, Cork and Galway. None at all were created in Laois, for example. James Claffey is the Policy and Communication Officer for Irish Rural Link. He's been telling News Talk Lunchtime about some of the things he'd like to see from the IDA.
Investment in rural areas is definitely lacking, and we would consider one of the biggest issues in this regard is broadband. So we would ask that investment into broadband infrastructure is aimed more substantially at rural areas, as rural communities now are highly educated and are in the market to attract companies in the IT sector, pharmaceuticals, and rural areas have huge potential for economic expansion and employment growth.
Mary Buckley is the IDA's Head of Regional Development and is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mary.
Good afternoon.
Is the problem for the IDA that many of the clients that you're trying to bring in here simply don't want to go outside of Dublin, Cork and Galway?
We have a range of clients in a number of sectors that look at Ireland. And I would firstly say that our clients, when they are looking at locations, they have certain business needs. So what the role of IDA is to ensure that we align their business needs with the locations in which they view. They are looking at a number of locations around the world, so we are competing internationally. So when clients come to look at Ireland, we can't waste their time. We've got to align it with what they're looking for. And that tends to be around clusters of similar type companies, a talent pool of people, property solutions, and indeed access, be it road or air. Infrastructure is a key requirement as well, and indeed good levels of broadband are required for certain types of activities.
And on the back of that, Mary, that sounds like there are large parts of this country that unfortunately the IDA simply cannot service.
We would look at when our clients are visiting Ireland and looking at locations, again, it goes back to what it is that they're looking for. So I'd have to say that when it comes to employment creation, there are a number of other types of employment creation for different parts of the communities in the country. There is tourism, there is agriculture, etc. But focusing on the needs of foreign direct investment, they do tend to like to be in locations of scale in order to meet their business needs. So, you know, you mentioned Dublin, Cork and Galway, but I would also comment on... No, I would also comment on some of the wins we've had recently, which, for example, we would have seen only last week, Ethicon, part of Johnson & Johnson, establishing in Limerick with 270 jobs. That was followed closely by the announcement of Regeneron, another manufacturing life sciences company setting up with 300 people in Limerick. Mm-hmm. Jazz just announced 2 months ago that they're setting up a life sciences manufacturing facility in Athlone with 125 jobs. And we had an online company, Overstock, announced that they're establishing in Sligo. So
I have to say, Mary, I'm in agreement. In agreement with you that the IDA has done tremendously well in what has been a very difficult time for you in bringing in all these foreign jobs, because they create other jobs in those communities. But from what you're saying about what the clients want, does that mean that some counties out there, the likes of those maybe in the northwest of the country or maybe around the border Midlands area, that they just have to accept that they're not going to get the same level of investment despite your best efforts?
What I would say is that there are opportunities for every county to win some types of investments. If you're to talk about foreign direct investment, you know, there is a huge spin-off into the local economies when companies set up. We would have knowledge that for every 10 foreign direct investment jobs that are created, there is a knock-on or a multiplier of 7 additional jobs in the economy. So I think that implies that while it, you know, the investment may not land in the location, the ability to access jobs in regional locations is quite good. So I think you need to have to be able to see beyond the boundaries and the borders of counties and say within regions there are opportunities, and it may mean that people may have to travel to work, but there are opportunities within regional locations, and I've just highlighted some of them already.
And you have indeed. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with Laois? Why did Laois get absolutely zero jobs last year? Was it just because you want people instead to travel to Meath and Dublin and other surrounding counties because it's easy?
I would go back to looking at what it is that our clients are looking for. And as I said already, many of them look to see the cluster of companies that are already there. So it's similar type of companies, talent pool, close to third level colleges, and to be in a location that has the ability to attract people to relocate to locations, property solutions and access. And indeed, you know, it goes into many other areas of working in partnership with local stakeholders, etc. So there is a broad combination of requirements that not every location in the country can meet.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for talking to us. Mary Buckley, the IDA's Head of Regional Development. Before that, we heard from James Claffey of Irish Rural Link. One text from Jura says, ask, where are all the jobs for Tralee, the capital of Kerry? No idea.